It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running on this 30th day of January 2019, the penultimate day of January, because sometimes I like to use the word penultimate, because I know, among other things, that it would confuse, say, Donald J. Trump and put that look on his face like a cow looking at a new gate. But it is. It's the next to last day of January. And this is the horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. I'm a couple of minutes late. I apologize for that. I was out on a kerosene run because you just don't want to run out in weather like this and before the folks in the upper Midwest start telling me what a sissy I am. I know. I got zero. You got Antarctica. Actually, it's warmer in Antarctica than it is in International Falls right now. So I understand. But still, you don't want to just freeze, and it's tough sleeping in like outdoor gear and stuff like that. That's why you only go outdoors. So I only use it. I'm right now. I'm wearing a pair of Cabela's camo hunting trousers that I purchased in January of 1996, and they're a little snug, but I can still get in them. That's 23 years ago. I don't feel real bad about things. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. This is the final prayer meeting of the month of January. The deacons, knowing that they're not going to have to do any plate passing, well, they have the night off. And it's so damn cold that they didn't even want to stand outside, brethren and sistren, and smoke with the sinners. Yeah, no. They said, fornicate it, Bob. We're missing tonight. And, well, with the deacons not there, the little old blue-haired ladies weren't at all certain either about how many people would be knocking down their cooking. And so, you know, this kind of cold brings out the worst in people. And so even the little old blue-haired ladies who talk like this when they get peeved, the little old blue-haired ladies looked at me and said, fornicate it, Bob. Go and go forth and bring back to go carry out pizzas from the gas station. So, you know, I just do what I'm told. So it's a not particularly hot pizza kind of prayer meeting Wednesday night, and so yeah, right. You get the idea. And yes, when the little old blue haired ladies do get upset. Well, they say things like, fornicate it, Bob. They're funny that way. But here we are, prayer meeting Wednesday, and we won't be doing the offertory hymn or anything like that. I mean, when the deacons quit, you got to pretty much give the minister of music a break, too. And so everybody gets to stay in their seats, and nobody has to come down to the lay their hands on the subwoofer at the altar or anything like that. It's my way. It's my way of providing. It's you know, hobbits. When they throw birthday parties, they give gifts in, to everybody who shows up instead of everybody bringing them one. So it's a hobbit thing. I'm gonna give everybody the gift of staying in the pews during the course of prayer meeting Wednesday here. I do have some thanks to send out though. This time of the month, we don't have any subscribers because the month of February screws up the 29th and 30th and 31st of any given month. But lo and behold, we still got a little help today. So thank you very kindly to Larry for jumping in and helping this afternoon. Much obliged indeed. And as well, thanks to Clarence, formerly of Philly and now I think of Charleston, South Carolina. Thank you very kindly. I'm not sure. Laurel asks, if tomorrow is your birthday, is today your Labor Day? No, we got it all out of the way in one day, at least the way I was told. Mom was never one for laying about and just taking things easy, so she went into labor, went down to the hospital. That hospital no longer exists. In the morning, and long about 5:30 or so, about airtime, I emerged feet first and how does Mishley say it? Well, never mind, it's too grim. Yeah, my family said I showed up feet first because I had to get out and start, you know, take a bow. Yeah. By the way, the birthday fundraiser over at Facebook is coming along rather nicely. We are up north of $500 out of the 1,000 that we're trying to raise. Maybe we'll get there by the end of the day tomorrow. Who knows? But I sure have enjoyed having fundraising free radio. And we got one more day of fundraising free radio come tomorrow. I don't see any reason why I won't be here. Maybe we'll do our, you know, any... You know, celebrate. What's to celebrate? But we'll mark the occasion on the weekend or something like that. I do have big thanks to send out, though. It was back before I headed out for the on the kerosene run, and my goodness gracious, it just smells. There's. I don't care how much you wash your hands. If you've been around kerosene, you're going to smell like kerosene for a while. There's just no getting around it. And so that lovely fragrance is in the studio this evening. But upon my arrival home, what to my wondering eyes did appear but a package of meat in tubular form. Yum, yum. And some lovely, good German chewy bread, a package of traditional German Spätzle. Look at that bad boy. A coarse liverwurst. Pork livers, onions, salt, spices. Oh, I can't wait. This is better. Oh, my goodness. And there's a Hungarian ring. We'll hang it to dry for a couple of days. Oh, holy wow. De Bretzene. Und Käsekreiner. Oh, there will be much, much happiness. And there will be... Yeah, so thank you very kindly to our pal Reverbo, the human boy, and the magnificent Sonia for such a kind remembrance. We will toast your name with each and every delightful piece of Wurzen that we get into. My goodness gracious sakes alive, that's just beautiful. So here we are. And again, thank you so very much. It is bearable here in the studio. We've been burning propane for all we're worth all day, and we've gotten it all the way up to a subtropical 50 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Not looking forward to overnight. And if you're, and again, if you're anywhere near this brutality, I know the photographs out of Michigan and northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, Chicago, pass, thanks. But please be careful. Please be careful. And in true prayer meeting fashion, by the way, the card that accompanied the gifting of meat in tubular form was a, it's lovely. It's a picture of Jesus as he walks next to a fellow in a business suit. Please, Jesus, protect me from your followers. An offering envelope. This is delightful. An offering envelope from the from a Baptist church. Please check the fund to which you wish to make a special gift. Special missions, Bob K. Yes. Yes, indeed. Ah. That just made my evening. It really, really did. That's just lovely and wonderful. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Where do we begin? Oh, I know. I know. Yeah, Monique says, tired of morons. Oh, I'm plumb wore out with them. I absolutely am, but that doesn't mean that they never give up. It seems like it's been a steady parade of morans all day long, even though it's not Monday. But in light of the fact that one of those morans was the one and only son of the grifter, Franklin Graham, this seems like an appropriate place to start. I never fully understand the booking process. I don't know what it is about Franklin Graham that would make you ever want to have him on a program. He has no expertise in anything. He's just a gospel sharp. And the only reason he's a multimillionaire gospel sharp is because he's the recipient of his dead daddy's wealth. You know, Billy Graham, the guy who sat around with Richard Nixon while Tricky Dick said things like, "Billy, we could make America great again if it weren't for the Jews. It's the Jews, Billy." And Billy said, "I know, Mr. President, I know. They're all going to hell, them Jews." Yeah, that Billy Graham. It's the Jews, Billy, the Jews. So, it's no surprise to me that Franklin Graham, the son of a racist, is tight and cozy with Donald Trump, the son of a Klansman. I don't know why this is so difficult for folks to get their heads around. But nonetheless, he showed up on NBC to be interviewed by Craig Melvin. And Craig Melvin wanted to talk to him about the 8,158 false or misleading statements. We call those lies in my country, that the Post has documented as made by Donald Trump. It did not go well.
The recent NBC News Marist poll finds support for the president among evangelicals dropped about 7% over the last month. The late Reverend Billy Graham, who prayed with every president since Harry Truman, also prayed with Donald Trump. His son Franklin took over the ministry after his father's death nearly a year ago.
Ministry, I mean, come on, Craig. Took over the family business, please.
...ago, and he aligned himself, politically at least, with President Trump. I talked to Franklin Graham recently about the state of the country and his father's legacy.
I think his most important legacy, there's no question, is he was faithful to preaching the gospel.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Billy Graham got his start being supported by corporate America, and was specifically paid to preach against the rights of working people to stand up for themselves, demand a decent wage, demand a humane work schedule, demand a decent old age, demand a retirement program, a pension, demand access to health care. And Billy Graham, Franklin Graham's dirty old daddy, preached against every last bit of it and was well paid to do it.
That God loves us, that our sins separate us from God, but yet God provided a way. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
See, that's the thing. I mean, if hell was a real place, I have no doubt whatsoever that Billy would be down there going, what are you going to do with that pineapple? At least I prefer to think of that. Right. Where are you going to put that spit? Why them little demons painting me with barbecue sauce? I've done spent my life telling people how much I love Jesus.
But whosoever believeth in him should perish, but should have...
He's witnessing. Move on.
...everlasting life. And my father preached this message continually his whole life. And he was calling people to repentance.
You know what? Can we just say this? America would not have suffered one iota if Billy Graham had never existed. America would not be, and might arguably be, a far better place had Billy Graham never existed. He wouldn't have, among other things, he would not have foisted Franklin Graham off on us. I mean, that's just a fact.
To turn from their sins and to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if a person did that, then God would welcome them into heaven. And they could have that assurance.
And, of course, they haven't proven the existence of heaven, not one, no, ever. So, thus far, it's just moonshine and blue smoke and fairy tales. I mean, because, really.
And have that peace with God. And that was his legacy. And we're...
Skip it, brother.
The Washington Post, as you probably know, the Washington Post fact checker, their analysis reports that the President of the United States has made 8,158 false or misleading claims in his first 2 years. How do you reconcile that?
Well, it's good for business. I tell my followers to vote for Donald Trump, and they give Trump some money, and they give me some money, and it's good for business. Now, it's not going to work out that way. In fact, if you've ever seen a human being twist themselves into a shape vaguely reminiscent of a pretzel, this is it.
Well, I don't know how to reconcile that, because, I mean, I don't know. You have a fact checker for the president, but I don't know if you have a fact checker for the media.
Now, isn't that adorable? He wants to fact check the fact checker. The only thing the Washington Post fact checker, who assigns all those Pinocchios, is doing is listening to the statements that Donald Trump makes and then finding out if they actually are factually accurate. And when he repeats the same lie over and over again, it becomes pretty obvious that he's deliberately lying. But Billy Graham's Franklin has painted himself into an epistemological corner, you might say. And he can't admit that the guy that he
that he supports with every fiber of his being, because he's so good for Frank's business, is a pathological liar.
At the same time,
Pastor Graham, you and I both know that this president has said things over and over that aren't true.
No, I don't know that. I don't sit around and try to find every fault in the president every day, looking for everything that he might have misspoken or missaid.
He's not perfect, just forgiven. So, in essence, what Franklin's saying is that anytime he sees Trump on the TV, he sticks his fingers in his ears and la 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 la, Jesus can't hear you, la 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 la.
I don't do that.
But you can acknowledge that the president has said things that aren't true.
I don't think the president is sitting there behind the desk trying to make up lies. I don't believe that for a second. Has he misspoken on something? Sure, all of us do that. You do it, and I do it. And we've
Really? I've never heard Craig Melvin go on the air and say that Mexican rapists are pouring across the border. I've never heard him say that women are being duct taped and carried in monster supercars across the Mexican border into the United States, and somewhere along the way they're leaving Muslim prayer rugs that just curiously happen to look a lot like Adidas soccer jerseys. I've never heard Craig Melvin say that, but I've heard Donald Trump say it more times than I can count. Yeah, maybe Franklin hasn't heard that.
Sometimes we get the facts wrong and we say something that later on we realize we could have said it better or it was misrepresented. And so I think the president is trying to do...
Barack Obama never got that kind of slack from Franklin Graham. He was just a Kenyan Muslim usurper that the truth wasn't in. Yeah.
The best that he can under very difficult circumstances. The problems that we face as a nation are so complex. There's no way that the president or the Congress or any one individual person can fix this. And we're getting ready to have another presidential campaign and elect another president here in 2 years.
Damn Skippy, Frank. We are going to elect another president in 2 years. And hopefully it'll be a president who doesn't have a goddamn damned iota of interest in hearing from your grifting, larcenous rectum of a mouth.
Or maybe the same president, I don't know. But
let's see, he had to catch up with himself there.
No one person can fix this, Craig. No one person can fix it. It's too complex. We need God, and as a nation, we've turned our back on God.
We need an invisible friend. And the invisible friend needs you to send money to Franklin Graham Ministries. Yeah, Monique, you're right. President Obama was the last sane president. Hopefully we can return to sanity, but I don't know. From the looks of a couple of days' worth of free publicity for Howie Schultz, over on MSNBC and, well, CNN, and it looks like it's just 2015 redux, and anytime Howie the billionaire wants to be heard from, there's somebody out there that wants to give him free airtime. Son of a gun! He's a billionaire! Charge him for it! Welcome to goddamn capitalism!
But Reverend Graham, you and I can both agree that one person could certainly serve as a shining example to all of us.
Well,
and that's Jesus Christ. You know, it used to be a Don Nealon joke here in West Virginia, but it became a Dana Holgerson joke. You know, the football. I know. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about football. But the former football coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers, who will now be heading the program there for the Houston Cougars, and good luck, and you're welcome to him. There used to be a running gag what do, and back then it was Billy Graham and Don Nealon have in common. It's been upgraded now to what did Franklin Graham and Dana Holgerson have in common? Well, the answer being they're the only people who can get 60,000 people to jump up on their feet and yell, Jesus Christ! This last season in particular.
Right now, we need somebody who can fix our country and fix the problems. And yes, we've had some great examples over history. Some of them haven't been so great examples. But the thing is, the American people have elected Donald Trump.
You see, that's a lie. The American people did not elect Donald Trump. And the casual disinterest that a grifter like Franklin Graham has in the truth is... Well, we all probably know it, but it bears mentioning here. Because Donald Trump was not elected to be president by the people of the United States. The people of the United States chose Hillary Clinton by a margin in excess of 3 million votes. An anachronism from our original sin, slavery and racism, gave the son of the Klansman the White House. I mean, of course, the Electoral College. Yeah, Monique, you're right. Think about it. One non-white president and white America lost its mind. I mean, I'm a white American, but I didn't lose mine. But the point taken. Yeah, Monique says, I don't understand Obama to Trump voters. Really? Really, Monique? I mean, I'm picking on you. But there was a whole lot of white America, and back then they were just teabaggers. It's before they turned into maggots. It's kind of a process, you know. Pupa, larva, teabagger, maggot. They hated him for the color of his skin. And they hated him even worse because he didn't just stomp their preferred white presidential candidate once, he did it twice. John McCain and then Bishop Willard Romney. It really is that simple. To call a center-right president a socialist when there's nothing socialist about him? To shriek socialism over a healthcare access plan that was written, that was conceived by the right-wingest right-wing think tank in America, the Heritage Foundation, and that's socialism? There's no other rational explanation than racism.
To be president, and he's the president. We need to work with him and support him while he's president, because if he succeeds, Craig, it's going to be to our benefit. It's going to be to your benefit.
Bullshit. It's going to be to the benefit of Mother Russia. But then again, I don't expect Franklin to have any particular loyalty to the United States. His daddy was all pro-American and anti-communist, but that was back when the checks were clearing, when he was paid to be that way. For all we know, Billy Graham was a CIA asset running all those so-called crusades. There's a loaded word. To communist bloc countries. Yeah, this didn't go at all well. It was a bad day for things not going well. Sarah Sanders, for whom there are many nicknames, but I have simply settled on Jethreen Bodine. Jethreen Bodine, press secretary to the President of the United States, appeared on the Christian Broadcasting Network. Yeah. She declared, and this is a quote, "I think God calls all of us to fill different roles at different times, and I think that he wanted Donald Trump to become president." No, really. So, it raises a host of questions. If God wanted Donald Trump to become president, why didn't he make the majority of the people in Merca vote for, you know, Donald Trump, instead of letting the devil, Hillary Clinton, have a majority of the votes? Why did old God have to rely on an anachronism from a constitutional anachronism from our vile days of human slavery to make him president? Right. Raises all kinds of issues, though. I guess that means that God wanted Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker of the House. I guess that means that God wanted Nancy Pelosi to tell him he couldn't have his State of the Union last night. That's just the kind of trouble you get into when you start running around saying that you know what the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky wants. And by the way, I'm just going to raise an issue here. And here it is. You know, the Constitution was drafted and ratified long about 1787. This was, of course, a time before anything resembling mass media at the speed of light. The most that anyone had was newspapers. Maybe the occasional town crier, but the town crier was just reading the newspaper. And the exigencies of travel back then meant that if you wanted to do anything resembling a republic or representative government, you had to do some traveling. I mean, people had to come from Savannah, Georgia to get to Washington, D.C. They had to come from the far reaches of New Hampshire. They had to come from New York. Philly maybe wasn't so bad, but that was still a couple of days' trip by horseback. And so anything that would have resembled pure democracy was impossible. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I'm not necessarily saying it should happen, but it's just an idea. You realize that given the instantaneous nature of communications now, that we are in a better position to do true, pure democracy than at any time since the ancient Athenians were gathering on the stone steps of the amphitheater and scratching words on potsherds to decide who to throw out of the city for the year. It's true. What would happen in this country, do you suppose? If instead of relying on elected representatives who were beholden to various and sundry interests, moneyed interest in most instances, what if we all just did the democracy ourselves? What if instead of voting, instead of leaving it to the Steve Kings of the world to decide whether or not hungry people got to eat, what if we did it ourselves? We can now, instantaneously. Now, the trick would lie in figuring out a way to keep the skullduggery out of the process. But we could actually do that. We could do true, straight up democracy. What a novel idea. Yeah, maybe we could figure out some way. I mean, we could figure out some way of doing it online. And we could protect the integrity of the system by saying that the death penalty will be applied to anybody who even vaguely attempts to mess with the system. And say, oh, every Saturday, maybe we vote on the things that matter across the country. Maybe we could start small. Maybe we could replace some state legislatures with that. Because, see, one of the things that the framers thought was that democracy would be too unwieldy because of the time and distance involved, and because of the vast amount of illiteracy that prevailed in the country at that time. And plus, there were a whole bunch of people that they just flat out didn't want voting. Three-fifths clause and all of that, and all those women folk and Native Americans and foreigners. And right. Yeah. Subject line, speaking of lying, Ron and Raleigh. I'm sure you heard Mike Pompeo. You know, he finished first in his class at West Point. Ah! When he introduced Elliot the Butcher Abrams as point man on Venezuela. As a great man and a friend of the people of Venezuela, Alan Nairn was on Democracy Now! And filled in some blanks with the filthy murdering rampage of Abrams, an American trained and financed death squads in Central America. Job of the Trump also gave Juan Guaido, the checkbook to Venezuelan accounts in the U.S. Old porn stash Bolton showed his murderous intentions to invade Venezuela. I mentioned this toward the end of the program last night. With his notepad announcement to send 5,000 troops to Colombia. Just glad I'm too old to be cannon fodder. Yeah, but you're not too old to object, Ron. And we cannot let our silence be assumed to be our acceptance. And I'm hoping Colombia sticks to its guns and declares that, no, there's no room for the United States military to invade Venezuela from Colombia. Because, see, that could then start a hemispheric war. Colombia lets the United States invade Venezuela. Bolivia says, fuck that, invades Colombia. Colombia is then fighting a two-front war between Bolivia and Venezuela. Maybe Ecuador jumps in. And hey, look, who knew there were Balkans in South America? And what's that? Steve in New York, a world without Billy Graham. Dear Bob, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there that the world would be better off without him. A good friend of mine who grew up near Franklin Graham wouldn't have such great stories and laughs about what a drunken philanderer Franklin was as an adolescent and young man. Oh, but the drunken philanderers ye have always with ye, Steve. There would have been someone else. But between Franklin Graham and Jethreen Bodine, it was kind of a tough day. One of those where the only thing keeping me from going out and just eating dirt and running rabbits was the temperature. Because it was effing cold. But let's check in now with some dude named Christopher McDonald. He's some sort of white wing evangelical. And he doesn't understand, because white guy, doesn't understand the concept of slavery. That's why he had the word slavery in his mouth a couple of days ago. I love it when clueless white wing white guys start talking about what is and isn't slavery. Might want to get the hockey puck for this one.
Neighbor, there's something big coming to America. There is something huge coming to this nation. God is about to birth something beyond our wildest imagination.
God's going to birth something? I didn't know he was equipped for that. Should we get a bucket? Is its name going to be Damien? Yeah.
And pardon my emotion this morning, folks. Pardon my emotion, but I feel this all over me. God is in love with this country.
God's in love with this country. I wonder if he's going to hold this country down, or maybe he'll just roofie us. But, by the way, dude's eyes look like a Rand McNally roadmap. You get the idea that the drinking started long before the camera went on.
America, he did not send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a bloody cross and shed his blood for the salvation of billions of souls.
Well, for once we agree, that didn't happen. But go ahead, I don't think that's what he means.
See, this nation... That is the bastion and the light, that golden lantern that she was holding, I believe with all my heart, that represented our nation, that represented what God had called this nation to do.
Chris, you just stand real still now. Look over there, Chris. Think about the rabbits, Chris. Yeah, there, you'll be feeling a lot better once that Thorazine dart starts working, buddy.
To be a light to this world, to be a light of the gospel to the lost, to be a bastion, a cradle for the gospel, to go forth into all the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west. God is birthing something in us. God is...
Wait, this is turning into the first Alien movie real quick. I'm a little worried.
Birthing something in you, young man. God is birthing something in you, young lady. God is birthing something in you, ma'am.
Can we get an abortion for that?
I mean, sir, and it's not something physical. It's not something that we may even be able to see with our eyes, but it is something that is spiritual in nature and eternal in nature. It is not temporal, but it is eternal. It is eternal. Yes, we live in a day of trouble. Folks, look around our nation. This nation's in trouble. It's in.
Oh. Wait. Now, this guy's a maggot. But he says the nation's in trouble. Wonder what kind of trouble we're in.
Spiritual trouble. When you have a governor in New York sign a bill into law killing babies up to the ninth month. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. When you have a sitting congresswoman in Congress that blasphemes God when she does it.
Wait. What, Edith, huh? The trouble we're in is some woman in Congress? Oh, God, who's she mad? Who's he mad at? And this, okay, so short list. That would be Nancy Pelosi, Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or maybe Ayanna Pressley, or Ilhan Omar. Anybody seen any of these practitioners of deviltry out there blaspheming God with their brown-skinnedness?
Spiritual trouble. When you have a governor in New York sign a bill into law killing babies up to the ninth month, we're in trouble.
You stupid bastard. Killing babies up to the ninth month. Since they've been having such a godforsaken conniption about this for a while now, ever since the bill got signed into law, let's take a moment, shall we, to talk about why a woman would need an abortion post 24 weeks. Some of you may follow on Twitter Dr. Jen Gunter. She's really good to follow. Lots of good information about reproductive health and about women's health. And so when white wingers like Christopher McDonald started having kittens with crocheted tails over the New York abortion law, she ran to Twitter, Dr. Gunter did. She said, "I've done abortions after 24 weeks for several years. I lived in a state with no gestational age limit. I've never done one that was not medically indicated. Remember the goober a couple of days ago who accused women of having recreational abortions? You know, I'd like to see him shit a watermelon someday, and then we can talk about recreational anything down there. I was never approached by any woman, Dr. Gunter says, to do a non-medically indicated abortion, so spare me the lies. Abortion after 24 weeks is very rare, it's very expensive, and these aren't whims because a woman is tired of being pregnant. These are situations with tragic fetal anomalies, sometimes compounded by maternal health issues." She continued and said, "I know of one case after 24 weeks where there were no fetal anomalies. It took months to get the court order as the child's parents would not consent. It was in the news, so not a HIPAA violation. She'd been raped by her brother." But here are some other examples Dr. Gunter offers. 25 weeks, severe growth restriction, and fetus not expected to survive. Pregnant person has severe preeclampsia, chooses abortion over C-section. 32 weeks, anencephalic fetus. Pregnant person just can't take people touching her belly and asking about the baby, chooses an early induction, which is technically an abortion. Triploidy pregnancy, had been planning to deliver at term and have a hospice. At 36 weeks, transverse lie. Can't be induced for this reason. Does not want a C-section. Chooses dilation and extraction. Anyone, especially any doctor, who says these are not indicated is wrong. Sometimes hypertension in pregnancy is so bad that a 26-week fetus is the size of one that's 19 weeks. The mother is literally dying from her high blood pressure. The dilation and extraction may be safer and faster. Your patient is counseled by neonatology and an obstetrician, and then she makes a choice. Imagine being 12 or 13, you're raped by your brother, get pregnant, and you have to fight for emancipation to get an abortion? I could go on. The permutations and combinations of pregnancy horror are truly bizarre and tragic. A doctor, especially an OBGYN, with no empathy or medical understanding of these situations, that is frightening. But that's what this ignorant white male is hooting about. Monique asks, why are these men obsessed with the vagina, just like racists are obsessed with black people? Well, it's not so much the specific plumbing that they're obsessed with, it's the control of it. And that's the heart and soul of authoritarianism, and that is all that the white wing is dictatorial authoritarianism. No interest in democracy, no interest in representation, just pure paternalism, dictatorship. Emphasis on dick. As you can well imagine.
You dick!
Right. So let's get back to Christopher McDonald before he has a conniption. asking, what's he doing? Ron in Raleigh writes, is this asshole discerning spirits? Do these charlatans listen to themselves? Will they shut the fuck up when Trump loses? P.S., and I'm glad you brought this up, the Supremes are hearing a case based on a trap law from Texas that's already been struck down. If they uphold this law, Roe versus Wade will be, for all intents and purposes, moot. Yeah, maybe we should go into that here in a little bit.
Trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. When you have a sitting congresswoman in Congress that blasphemes God when she does it, when she tells the world that it's okay if these ISIS three individuals that just got arrested in Michigan this week and they're ISIS sympathizers, and she comes out and she says, well, we need to have sympathy for these men.
Interestingly, Christopher McDonald here, who says, we're in trouble, 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 go away. So, no more singing. There's no fundraising to do. I won't do that to you. But if you'd like to help Coal River Mountain Watch, that would be appreciated. No mention from Christopher McDonald here about the two white folks who tried to murder five cops in Houston. No mention of the 21-year-old white guy in Florida that deliberately murdered five women. No mention of the 21-year-old white guy that murdered five people in Louisiana and then took it on the lam all the way to Virginia. No, that's not part of the trouble we're in. Muslims! 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 Almost sounds like a klaxon aboard a destroyer with a torpedo bearing down on it. Muslims! Muslims!
Need to have mercy for these men because they're misunderstood. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy.
Blasphemy? Blasphemy? I thought it was blasphemy. But no, apparently it's blasphemy when a brown woman wearing a scarf does it. Blasphemy. So few lions left in the world.
It's rebuke. Everything godly, everything conservative, everything that's right with God, everything that is...
Wait, godly and conservative are the same thing? You know, if you actually read the parts where God's not being a big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, he's actually fairly liberal. If a stranger comes to your house, feed the stranger, be kind to him, don't murder him in their bed, don't poison anybody's wells, don't cut down their trees, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, visit people in prison, try to heal the sick best as you can, given, you know, the time period they were in. There's nothing conservative about any of that. Conservative is screw you, slam the door in their face, and sit back down to dinner, and you don't much care if anybody lives or dies except, you know, you.
Lined up with the Word of God, everything that is lined up with the Scripture is rebuked today, and it's blasphemed by the left. It's blasphemed by God haters. It's blasphemed by those that don't know God. And yes, they need our prayers, but I'm telling you something, folks. Their argument, I want you to hear me this morning.
Yeah, time out. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Maybe God will roofie us. God likes beer. He likes to drink beer. And it says clearly right here on his calendar, don't rape Mary. Asa, you have the Almighty's calendar? I had no idea you were in such close contact.
Argument is not with me and you. Their argument is against God. Their argument is against...
Nah, the argument is against your imaginary friend. So the argument is against you, McDonald. Old McDonald had psychosis.
Against God, just like Rabshakeh and Sennacherib did not realize they were not taunting Hezekiah when they were taunting Hezekiah. They were taunting God. God was hearing their taunts. God was hearing their rebuke. God was hearing their blasphemy.
There's more of that blasphemy. True. Monique says, I'm from New York and was here for 9/11. I'm more terrified if a white male sits on a plane than any woman wearing a hijab. That would tend to be borne out by the statistics.
God was witnessing the day of trouble. He is all-knowing. He knows what is happening. He knows that this is a time that we live in. He knows the struggle that we live in as a nation. He knows that this is a struggle for fight and a struggle for truth.
Apparently, he doesn't know it's a struggle for against income inequality. Apparently, he doesn't know it's a struggle to for a heck of a lot of Americans, myself included, to be able to go to the doctor or afford their medicine every month. Knowing that, no, that's just sort of not. He's not that God. He knows, however, there's a struggle to catch a. Catch a ball on a deep route with a defensive back hanging on you like a mugger. He knows that struggle. Yes.
He knows every single thing about this country. He formed it from sea to shining sea.
How about that? Apparently he didn't know about the millions of natives who were living here when he was forming this country from sea to shining sea. Looked the other way on that genocide there, didn't he?
And he ordained Donald Trump. He ordained this man to be in office that we have in office today.
Then why didn't they have him win the popular vote, dumbass?
And just as he was carrying that lantern, just as that dream that Beverly had where he was carrying that golden lantern, and he looked like Abraham Lincoln in many ways, as Lincoln liberated this country and God used Lincoln to liberate this nation from slavery, I totally believe this morning that President Trump, God is using President Trump to liberate this country from spiritual slavery.
If you've ever had your back crisscrossed with scars as a result of spiritual slavery, raise your hand, Christopher McDonald. If your life expectancy has never gone very, very much further into the 40s than into the 40s because of spiritual slavery, raise your hand, Christopher McDonald. If you've ever had family members strung up from a tree and hanged and burned and beaten, drowned, from spiritual slavery, raise your hand, Christopher McDonald. Well, I tell you, white religious grief it may be the most powerful force in the universe. But it's not just brown women with headscarves. We've got other problems in Merca. Just check in with, you know, I told you about this a couple of nights ago. Let's check in with Bill Mitchell. He's some white wing blatherskate who sticks his face in front of cameras at every opportunity and whatnot. Yeah, and of course, the problem that we have, women's are the problem. What's that, Silent R. Lamar? Your call of Muslim, you sound like an air raid alarm. Well, that's what I said. My dad was in the Navy, so it was the general quarters klaxon. Yeah. Muslim. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. What's that, Dave in Talibandiana? Hey, Bob, he felt it all over him. I didn't know Ernest was there making him say, baby, what was that? Oh, baby. Your buddy Dave, a proud member of the fraternity of Dave. Hey, yeah, I did not
come.
Yeah, I really do. I've got to make that clip. And Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, is it safe to assume no naked radio tonight, Bob? It is 100% safe to make that assumption. It's cold enough in here that a fella could probably be done in by exposure if he really wanted to be. I don't want to be, and so I don't need anything freezing off or together or, you know, any other prepositions. But Bill Mitchell knows that the Senate of the United States in particular is in big, big trouble.
I think you could argue that the Republicans are actually better off with the Democrats in charge of the House for the next 2 years. Why? Because the Republicans had maintained a majority in the House and a narrow majority and the majority in the Senate. I propose to you, we still would not get wall funding done. They would fight amongst themselves and America would be so sick of them by the time 2020 around, we would lose the House and the Senate and maybe the White House. And maybe the White House coming up, because America would become so fatigued with Republican infighting and lack of ability to get anything done. Also,
curious thesis, seeing as how they had 2 years to get their wall built and didn't bother. But it's also a convenient excuse. Maybe y'all just had terrible ideas. And maybe, just maybe, another bit of terrible ideas about to vomit out of the reverse rectum that is this guy's face.
So, on the 15th, there's an excellent chance that Donald Trump will declare a national emergency and get his wall built. If the Republicans were in charge of the House and the Senate, Donald Trump would not declare a national emergency because he'd be going around his own party.
'Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toves, did Geyer and Gimble in the Wabe. All mimsy were the Borah Groves and the Momraths outgraved.
It would look terrible. The fact that Pelosi is now in the House allows Donald Trump to declare a national emergency and get this done. So looking back on this...
Isn't it just fascinating that they can blather away about this stuff completely oblivious to the reality that exists all around them? Russia isn't even on planet Earth with these cretins. None of that. You know, Felix Sater doesn't exist. Neither, for that matter, does sweet, huggable, cuddly, lovable Pootie Poot. Whatever they're smoking. I don't want nothing to do with it.
It looks like, and Donald Trump worked hard to get the Senate, but he didn't work on the House at all. And in getting rid of the House and...
You lying sack of shit. He campaigned for all he was worth trying to hang on to the House. But then there were guys and women in the House who said, uh-uh. No, Donnie, really, you got president to do. I'll just handle the campaign here by my... And they tended to survive when you... Unless it was in Talabama or Mississippi Stan or somewhere like that, where it's automatic, having Donald Trump endorse you was not much in the way of a leg up in the House of Representatives. Not even. What's that, Lee, in New York? Subject line, all-powerful God. If God was a conservative, why did Obama become president? If God loves us, why did a orangutan become president? We can file that under what does God need with a starship, Lee? Yes. You didn't think I was going to let that go. No, of course not. Kevin in Colorado Springs, back home now, says, meanwhile, here in Colorado, the religious right is all upset that the abstinence-only course will be banned unless real sex education is taught with it. You know, because teenagers won't be teenagers. And forwarded along an email. Abstinence-only teaching ban. Hundreds converge on Colorado Capitol to oppose sex education bill. The stupid of one-third of this country may be the end of us yet.
Losing the House, we probably lost with all the retirements and all the people that were never Trumpers that got kicked out. We probably lost 50, 60, or 70 swamp dwellers that you could never have primaried or gotten out any other way.
People that were primaried out and sent out in this last election, they were not Trump Republicans. They right. were not strong Republicans at all. And we lost a lot, we know, due to fraud. There was an incredible amount of fraud, and it was revealed.
Really? Where was the fraud? This is Joni Manorino in New York, New York. There was an incredible amount of fraud. He's probably going by the Texas story that Greg Abbott had a conniption about last week, in which 95,000 names were flagged as possibly not being real, live, honest-to-goodness, murkin' voters. In Texas, the only thing is, now, without nearly as much fanfare, the people who composed the list are saying, you know, we may have gotten a few too many names on that purge list there. And even the presence of a name on the list does not indicate that a person voted illegally. It just means that there was a very, 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 very vague computer match. You know, like, say, between Juan Gonzalez, who isn't a registered voter, versus Juan Gonzalez, whose people came into Texas 400 years ago and for whom the Mexican border moved south, leaving them in the United States. Because, you know, that happened. It happened in Texas. It happened in New Mexico, it happened in Arizona, happened in California. Hell, it happened in Colorado, happened in Nevada. Shit, it even happened in Louisiana. One day they're French, the next day they're, who's Thomas Jefferson? Qu'est-ce que c'est Thomas Jefferson, huh? Though that's so true, Lee in New York says, the Republican definition of voter fraud is a person who did not vote for a Republican. And there we go.
In California, Nevada especially. I mean,
we haven't gotten to the really good part yet, by the way. I would not, if I were you, put away the hockey puck for any amount of money on offer.
People on election day, Republicans on election day in Orange County who were ahead by 6 points on election day and lost. All these harvested ballots are already coming in.
Well, you know, in a state with mail-in voting. Ooh. Inconceivable.
And Arizona was a total, total fraud. Sinema, there's no way. Do you see her walking around the thing?
Here we go. Joey Manorino is going to get it started. But Bill Mitchell's going to... Thank God this guy isn't actually anybody anywhere, because this would probably get him kicked off the air.
she wears to Congress, the way she
does the thigh-high boots and a miniskirt. My gosh, she looks like some sort of hooker. It's crazy.
Yeah, and a cheap one too. Not only that, Arizona would never vote for a woman. She sat there and endorsed the Taliban. Oh, if Americans want to, you know, join.
No, she did not endorse the Taliban. God, I would love for either one of these neo-maxi Zoom dweebies to say that to Kyrsten Sinema's face. You know, her politics is a little Manchin-ish for me. But, you know, I don't talk about Republican women the way these guys are talking about Kyrsten Sinema. We talk about policy, like, you know, a noted Republican moderate centrist Susan Collins, who somehow or another has a reputation for being a noted Republican moderate centrist, but votes like the hardest hardcore right winger there is in the whole goddamn country 90% of the time. But no, what he actually said that. Bill Mitchell said Kyrsten Sinema, because she wore a pair of boots and a dress, looked like some kind of hooker.
Sinema, there's no way. Do you see her walking around, the things she wears to Congress, the way she does
the thigh-high boots and a miniskirt? My gosh, she looks like some sort of hooker.
Joey Manarino started this, but I'm halfway wondering if he's like some sort of undercover Saudi. Jesus. Well, okay, Monique, because they're attracted to her. They think she's hot, so they call her a hooker?
It's a crazy
and a cheap one, too. Not only that. Arizona would never vote for a woman. She sat there and endorsed the Taliban. Oh, if Americans want to, you know, join the Taliban, I can understand. Arizona did not vote for that woman. Just didn't happen. We know that. We know what happened in Florida that almost happened, that we got saved at the last minute. So now we know the extent of their voter fraud operation. And I really think that we can look at it and do something about it by 2020. I pray they do.
I hope.
If they don't, we're going to have a problem.
Why?
Nah, shitheads. Kyrsten Sinema is still going to be a senator from Arizona in 2020. Apparently you fucks can't count and you don't have the first clue about maybe the length of a senatorial term. She's going to be there till 2024, whether you like it or not. Steve in New York, a member of the fraternity of Steve, says, looks like some kind of hooker, spoken with the love and mercy of Christ Jesus. Because, yes, these are absolutely Christians. Good, good Christians. Darlene in Connecticut says, I agree with Monique. Yeah, Monique's batting about a million this evening. But, I mean, they learned nothing, I guess, because they don't really feel like there's a penalty to be paid. Emery and Marveline are sitting there in their matching Barca loungers watching Bill Mitchell and Joey Manarino call a sitting member of the United States Senate a prostitute. Well, Emery, that was a mighty short dress. Yeah, but Marveline, didn't you wear one of them back in the day? Well, yeah, but that was back when you were leaving the money on the dresser right after we got finished. We don't have to talk about that, Marveline. You've been forgiven, and so has I. Jesus, jumping Christ. I mean, but that's, you know, that's not all there is. Oh, no, not by a long shot. Because we haven't even gotten around to, do you remember James Woods? These people are some evil folks. James Woods took to Twitter to talk about Kamala Harris. and decided to invent some hashtags along the way. He described in a tweet about Kamala Harris, CNN politics story, Kamala Harris's tax plan focuses on middle class relief, not the ultra rich. CNN fires up its propaganda engine for hashtag horizontal Harris. Then he went after the story about the fact that she dated former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown and used the hashtag Willie Wanker. Willie Wanker, Horizontal Harris, and Willie Wanker. Jesus. And, you know, I guess he's got enough money to get him through the rest of his life. I know I would not watch, so if a damn toothpaste commercial came on with James Woods in it, I would change the channel. He also used the hashtag Free Willie. And photoshopped a picture of Kamala Harris holding up a sign that says Mattress Firm. I wish I had some sort of an answer for the rampant misogyny. That infects cranky, old, hateful, white wing men in this country. At Darlene in Connecticut with a question. Yeah, what about melanoma? Didn't she actually do sex for money? Well, she claims that she didn't. But what she can't claim, Darlene, is that she never accepted money in exchange for removing her clothing for total strangers to look at her and do whatever they wanted. Look, but don't touch. That is an undeniable fact that I don't care if she was suing in the United States or Great Britain. It is an undeniable fact. And she's the first lady in the history of the United States to ever do that. As Steve in New York says, I'm surprised they didn't call her a homo sapien and even a thespian. Well, of course not. And by the way, just because this is kind of a twofer, after we heard from Chris McDonald and after we heard Bill Mitchell refer to a sitting member of the United States Senate as a hooker, well, it's kind of like Super Friends, only disgusting. The two were together on one of these white wing platforms, and they decided it was time to diagnose, in a sort of generic form, Democrats.
The whole idea. But if you see teenagers wearing MAGA hats or Make America Great Again hats, that somehow in your mind that triggers feelings of racism in your mind. And, you know, I'm just like...
Well, I don't know what you're just like. But the reason people feel that way is because the people wearing those disgusting hats, made in China, for the profit of Donald J. Trump, the reason people feel that way when they see somebody wearing those hats is that quite often when people are seen wearing those hats, they're doing something disgusting and racist, like shrieking MAGA at a group of women minding their own business, or shrieking at a Native American, or shrieking at someone to go back where you came from, even if they've been in this country before it was a country and for about the last half millennium or so, and some genetic history of having been here for a few millennia. If we apply the metric system to the idea of a millennium, is ten millennia a decimillennium? I don't know. I'm sorry, Marty. I mean, you know, all we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it. Marty says, Bob, I'm too far away from my bottle of rum. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, of course she did. Melanoma married Donald Trump. Are you telling me she did it out of pure love and lust for the hunky Donald? I would never say that because, well, the vomiting would probably interrupt the program. But anyway, Bill Mitchell and Chris McDonald. Bill and Christopher sitting on a tube playing out hate for right-wing rubes.
One way that hat can trigger feelings of racism in your mind if racism is occupying a large space in your mind. You're looking at the world through racism-colored glasses. And here's the problem that liberals have.
And I think by liberals he means people who aren't white. These guys make me look like I've got a tan. I mean, we're talking pink, folks, pink. It looked like they could be in never mind. They look like they could be in a Johnny and Edgar Winter tribute band, okay?
Liberalism is a philosophy of otherness. I want to say that again. Liberalism is a philosophy of otherness. They feel...
Proving that this guy has never read Matthew Arnold, has never read any of the Enlightenment philosophers, you know, the folks who invented liberalism. I guess they're monarchists, royalists. That's kind of hard to say.
Feel a sense of being outcast, a feeling, a sense of being different. And they, because of this otherness, they had...
I don't think we've ever had so much white-splaining in one program. These guys have never experienced discrimination. Jesus Christ, if somebody in a coffee shop told them that they wouldn't serve them coffee because they were white-winged pissants, you could hear the wambulance crank up from from the next planet over.
Tend to have a lot of self-loathing, okay? Now, they're human beings, and so they loathe themselves, so they loathe humanity.
Somewhere, Aristotle or Socrates is reaching his dead hand out of the reconstituted from the ashes to say, "No, really, bring me another hemlock and make it a double." Aristotle just kicked something in China because he's rotated all the way through. Maybe to the Marianas Trench. Who knows? this is better than all mackerel are fish and all fish live underwater and therefore trout live in trees.
They tend to have a lot of self-loathing, okay? Now, they're human beings, and so they loathe themselves, so they loathe humanity.
Obvious, one might think. Not.
So they blame humanity for everything. The Democrats and the liberals must always blame mankind for everything because of their sense of otherness.
Because blaming the elephants and the giraffes is sort of pointless. I know. Let's blame it on the sweet, fuzzy little puppies and kitties. They're the ones. Now, these are the freaks who sit around hooting and hollering and squealing and braying about aliens, illegal aliens. They don't even realize that alien means other. They're the ones doing the othering. Save me, Jesus, from your followers.
Because of their sense of not belonging, because of their sense of just hatred of mankind. And this is what they must do. And so that's why their policies and procedures never improve the status.
And I know I'm talking about video on a radio program, but just let me tell you that in the screen inset, Christopher McDonald is wiggling like he's sitting on something that's vibrating while Bill Mitchell's doing all this.
That's of mankind, but prolong the pain and make the pain worse because they hate mankind and they hate themselves. And liberals are probably listening to me right now and say, oh, Bill, you don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, that settles it for me. I mean, Bill, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, okay, you say you do, so I guess I can't assail logic like that, primarily because it isn't logic. Heather says, Bill Mitchell's nuttier than I can figure out what. He's nuttier than an almond grove in California. He's nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake. He's nuttier than Jimmy Carter's peanut patch. Of course, peanut's not a real nut, but you get the idea. It's a legume. Ron and Raleigh, haven't you seen the recent survey that showed that white men believe they're the most discriminated group in America? Pity the poor white man. You know, I get up every morning, and as a white guy, I just wonder who's going to discriminate against me today. Jesus. Prayer meeting Wednesday. There's always, always something. Oh, and by the way, this goes back a few days. We were still in the shutdown. But this Josh Bernstein character, this guy really probably needs to be at least on some law enforcement's radar. Just given the number of people that he says he wants to see killed. And on this program, we have gone over in great detail the elements and requirements for proving treason as set forth in the Constitution of the United States. By the way, Sparky lets us know the almond trees are nutless this time of year. I don't think there's any call to insult the almond trees right now, but I get that. But generally speaking, almond groves are nutty places. Pistachios.
Our border is open like a sieve. They could care less. And this goes to show and goes to prove that it is purely political. This has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that these scumbags, and that's what I'll call them, that will not fund our southern border.
Does he mean the Republican members of the House and Senate who, for the last 2 years, haven't built Trump's border wall? No. That's a different set of scumbags. These are the Democrats. He's another bright one, Josh.
It's all about giving Trump his victory. That's what this is. Prevent President Trump from getting his victory any means possible.
If he got his victory, given that we know that the low end of the estimate is somewhere around $30 billion to build this stupid boondoggle, what's he going to do with the $5.7 billion that he wants? What's it going to go toward? A couple of miles of wall? Research on the wall? It's certainly not going to go to an environmental impact statement. This is too complex for the Josh Bernsteins of the world.
These people are lower than pond scum. They are in...
Dude, pond scum is on top of the pond. It's not low. Pond scum is not low. Pond scum is high. Whale shit is low because it's on the bottom of the ocean. So same thing with catfish shit. Bottom, top, don't...
Violation of their oath of office... They should be arrested and charged for treason, for not doing and upholding the Constitution and supporting the Constitution and the right to protect the citizens of the United States.
Huh? There's nothing in the Constitution about building a goddamn wall. And rest assured that the framers of the Constitution, having been classically educated, knew a lot about walls. They knew about Hadrian's Wall, for instance. Some of my ancestors were the original folks that they wanted to keep behind the wall. Scots, Picts. Yep. Didn't work out. The Bay City Rollers still played London. Oh, well.
The president is the only one willing to stick his neck out there and work hard on trying to get this done. And you know what? I hope he gives the middle finger to Congress and tells them to go jump off a bridge and declares a state of emergency and funds this damn wall once and for all.
He can declare a state of emergency. He can declare a state of non-compos mentis. And frankly, I think that's the greater likelihood here. I mean, do you realize since Monday, he hasn't had anything other than his presidential daily briefing on his schedule? It's been wide open. That's 5 days that the folks in the White House haven't been able to get the dosage right. It's my considered opinion, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio, but based on his public appearances and based on his tweeting, like, you know, global waming, yeah, not a well man. Look, and you know what? I bet there are people in the Horn Family Community Congregation that have some degree of experience with this. I'm not making any value judgments. Trump famously claims that he never drank because apparently the good Trump son couldn't stand to live on planet Earth with all the bad Trumps and drank himself to death. And that was his elder brother. Maybe that was Fred Jr. or something. So Trump claims never to have drunk. And we all know what an obnoxious drunk is like. There are certainly those of us in the Horn Family Community Congregation who have partaken of the sweet little flower of the cannabis plant. And generally speaking, nobody turns into an asshole when they smoke weed. Generally speaking, Cocaine is powdered asshole. Just, you know, just cocaine is asshole. Just add wealthy white guy. Hallucinogens, peyote, mescaline, psilocybin mushrooms, acid, ayahuasca. These are things that have been used religiously and medicinally in large part, with the exception of the lysergic acid diethylamide, by ancient peoples for millennia, with no particular ill effects. And somebody in the throes of a good trip is generally just a rather silly and fun person to be around. But speed. Whether it be methamphetamine, amphetamines, Ritalin, Adderall, speed freaks are not nice people. And I'm taking that one fellow who worked around him at his word that, in fact, Donald J. Trump is a speed freak. It's really the only thing that explains all the huffing and the snorting and the adenoidal speech. And regardless of what Josh Bernstein wants, I think he is becoming difficult to manage from a pharmaceutical perspective. He's not even the same guy he was 2 years ago. He's not the same guy that came down the elevator. He's damn sure not the same guy that was ranting and raving away. I mean, he's the same guy from the perspective of being an overt racist and coward, but he's not the same guy physiologically or mentally or physically. We've had over 2 years now, and we're watching him come apart at the seams. And before anybody says, well, you know, serves him right or anything like that, or speed kills or keyed spills, people like this Josh Bernstein and that Bill Mitchell and that goofy old McDonald. If Donald Trump should receive some form of ill effect from his long-term abuse of apparently Adderall, these morons are going to go wild. They're going to swear that the deep state got him. And we need to be prepared for the violent conniption that they're going to have in that event. almost a time check. No time checks. Monique says, Bob, I hope President Obama runs for 2020, because why not, and let him take his case to the Supreme Court. Well, it'd be bounced out before it even got up the first step. The president is limited to two terms, not two consecutive terms, two terms at all. And Obama served them. The only way to get around that would be to repeal that amendment. I personally think it's a terrible amendment. I think it's anti-democratic. But that would have to happen that way. Anybody want to check in and engage in some conversation? You're more than welcome. 304-574-8178. Or if you need us to pay the freight, toll-free, 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676. Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. The other night I mentioned, here endeth the lesson, prayer meeting wise. The other night I mentioned a massive tranche of hacked emails and documents out of Mother Russia that comes from an outfit called Distributed Denial of Secrets. Among other things, they offered this massive amount of hacked emails to WikiLeaks, but since they pertained to Mother Russia, WikiLeaks took a powder on it because that wouldn't be fair. The only government transparency they're interested in, Julian Assange, is the government that he fucking despises. And he does not despise Mother Russia. Probably has something to do with the check clearing. But folks are beginning to sift through that massive disclosure, and a name popped up, the Bradley Foundation. The Bradley Foundation pumps boku bucks into white-wing groups here in the United States. They fund organizations that are dedicated to despising migrants and immigrants. They fund the Daily Caller News Foundation. And one of the names that popped up out of this, and you know, this isn't Comet Ping Pong Pizza. This is stuff you can go and see online yourself. Dan Schmidt was an operative at the Bradley Foundation for literally tens of years. Back in 2014, he was one of the vice presidents of the foundation. And in 2014, as these leaked emails show, Russian actors, I don't mean like stage actors, I mean people acting on behalf of Mother Russia, were tasked with infiltrating the evangelical religion industry in the United States. And guess what? Dan Schmidt shows up at a hobnob hoity-toity to-do hosted by, you know, Russian operatives, and at the same time that gala was attended by one Alexander Dugin. He's a big proponent of fascism in Mother Russia. Konstantin Malofeyev, a Russian oligarch, at least at present under sanction, was also there. So was one Igor Shchegolev. And he was an advisor to Putiput. Sergei Rudov was there as well, and he's one of the ones who played host to the National Rifle Association when they decided to go over and play footsie with dictatorial authoritarianism because money. Quite a mess. The sponsor for that get-together, that little soiree, was the World Congress of Families. That's a front group that was founded to interface between the evangelical American right-wing religion industry and a bunch of oligarchs who have sanctions against them. What do they have in common? In the United States and in Mother Russia, the get-together gave them common cause in their hatred of the LGBTQ community. So remember, they infiltrated the religion industry. Wonder if there's any Russian money in old Franklin Graham's bank account. Want to bet? I wouldn't take the bet. Because, of course, Franklin will take the money as long as the check clears. By the way, when Think Progress reached out to the Bradley Foundation, it was all crickets. On and on and on. By the way, there's been a rather noteworthy resignation at the Vatican. Hermann Geisler was involved with and chief of staff for an outfit inside the Vatican called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is the modern-day successor to the Inquisition, by the way. And they were charged with coming up with punishments for priests who rape children. Well, Hermann Geisler, Father Geisler, suddenly decided that it was time for him to, resign. Give you three guesses why, and two don't count. Yeah, a nun dropped the dime on him. Well, a former nun, a woman named Doris Wagner, said he would keep me there kneeling in front of him for hours, and he would tell me how much he liked me and that he knew I liked him, and even though we couldn't marry, there would be other ways. At some point, he would try to hold me and kiss me, and I simply panicked and ran out of the room. When I told a female superior, actually, I was extremely relieved that she didn't blame me. Instead, she said something like, you know, I knew Father has a certain weakness for women, so we kind of have to put up with this. We have to put up with this. Too bad Bill Mitchell wasn't around. Maybe he could have called her a hooker. Let's check in over on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Oh, yeah, Kiosko calling, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you? I bet I'm cold, but I bet I'm warmer than you are.
20 below here up in God's country, North Dakota, Stan.
Hoo-wee, you can keep it.
I was just outside shoveling my, doing some shoveling. I got to go back out tomorrow. I couldn't finish it all.
You got to be careful with that shoveling in that kind of temperatures, but I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, you know, I did for 30 years on the railroad, too, you know.
Oh, you worked the railroad?
Yeah. Yeah, track department, yeah.
So do you know anything about this story I've been seeing all day about the necessity in this kind of cold to soak ropes in kerosene and set fire to the railroad tracks?
Oh, yeah, we used to do that to if you get a pull apart, and it would expand the track, the rail, to try to get it back together where you could bolt it again.
That was I saw a video of that this morning in, out of Chicago, and I was like, wow, that seems kind of drastic.
Yeah, we called it the rope. You keep it soaked all the time, leave it in that, you know, in a can or a barrel, you know, and then when you needed it, the rail would the opposite of expand and break, and then you had to put that rope to heat it up to get it to expand just enough to, you know, where you could bolt it back together. If not, well, then you had to cut another rail in.
Well, I just had a note from down in southwest Minnesota. Right now, says Laurel, it's 51 degrees warmer in Moscow than here. It's minus 21 there in southwest Minnesota, whereas Moscow is 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
Holy, well, yesterday Hartman was reading, he read that on the base camp at Mount Everest, it was 30 above, I think. And like, whatever, in Minneapolis it was like 40, 50 or something, I don't know.
It's nasty, to say the least. And you know, here's the weird part. It's going to warm right back up. So, you know, don't count on it staying like this for a while.
Well, only problem is up here it won't get nice enough to melt.
No, probably not for you, but for people like me down here, by Sunday afternoon. No, let's go. By Tuesday, well, from Sunday to Tuesday, the lowest it's going to get is 41 degrees, and by Tuesday we expect it to be 60.
Well, I was teasing them in the chat room. I said, I hope it's warm enough for the left on Sunday for the cheerleaders at the Super Bowl, but it's in a dome, of course, you know.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's been some consternation, fear of inclement weather in Atlanta, because see, folks like you who live where you do, you understand how to deal with this kind of weather to a certain extent. But
yeah,
if two flakes of snow fall in the greater Atlanta area, they close schools. If
I heard that, yeah.
If three flakes of snow fall, they declare martial law. And if a half an inch of snow falls, it's a snowpocalypse.
Yeah, I've been hearing people say that about it out there, because they're
oh, it's like, it would be if it was snowing on Sunday in Atlanta, seeing people try to get to the Super Bowl would be like watching a demolition derby.
you know what they're doing out here. Okay, I live. You ever heard of Devil's Lake, North Dakota?
No, but do tell.
It's like one of the most popular, hottest walleye, perch, pike, and bass fishing lakes in the whole of North America, I'm telling you. Anyway, it's just great big booming up here the last 20 years for fishing. And, you know, we got a whole bunch of resorts now, and people just come from all over the world here to fish. And anyway, they're out there plowing today on 30 below weather, you know. Out on the lake, I live right on Creole Bay. It's like 100 feet from my front window, and I'm watching out my window. I'm watching them plowing roads out there, you know.
Yeah, so people can get out to ice fish?
Yeah. They got all kinds
I used to think I'd like to try that. I don't know if I still feel that way or not.
It's actually fun. You're sitting in that little shack and it's warm. And when they start biting, oh, wow, it's fun. It can, especially if it's the perch.
Oh, you make it sound like a blast. I bet it's good eating, too.
Oh, they're really good. And then I think there's a limit now of 50 a day, but there used to be unlimited. And people would come and they'd throw up 5-gallon buckets, you know. It was just crazy wild. And I think they finally had to put a limit on the perch.
Perch is a nice, mild fish. Fries up great, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, this is crazy. I lived on the lake my whole life. Right on Creole Bay, my parents' house was right on the shoreline, and this lake's been rising for forever. It's been rising, rising, rising. We had to build a dike around the whole, just millions of dollars they pumped into to save the city. They built a dike to save the city. They had to dike up all the roads all around, and my parents' house got flooded out, and now I still live out in the neighborhood, but I'm still by the lake, and I'm not a fisherman. I've never fished. People ask, what? You live right on Devil's Lake and you don't fish? No, I don't.
Maybe you ought to start. Maybe you ought to start.
Well, I might, you know, once everything, the shit hits the fan, I might have to start going out there, you know, and then I got deer, whitetail, and walk right through my yard, and I got rabbits, and there's been some turkey and pheasant lately, so I might have to, either that or I'll stock my Y2K fallout shelter.
You're Y2K. You're a day late and a dollar short, man.
I'll have to restock it. I mean, everyone built a fallout shelter for Y2K, didn't they?
You know, I let it slip past me. I just got to January 1st, 2000, and got busy on the hog jowl. I'm funny that way.
Yeah, I remember everyone was worried about that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Y2K, ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah.
All the computers were going to stop working.
Yeah, and everyone, the world was going to come to an end, you know.
No kidding.
I'm sorry, I laugh at people because of duck and cover, you know.
Well, yeah, sure.
I wasn't old enough for duck and cover, and my brothers and their friends were, you know. I like to tease them about.
Yeah, for some reason or another, by the time I got into school, we seemed to be more worried about tornadoes than we were Soviet missiles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had tornado drills instead of nuclear holocaust drills.
And then now, you know, we got to worry about that caravan. You know, it's always some fear, isn't it?
Oh, I'm 75,000 people in it, aren't there?
Jeez.
Half a million, maybe. It just depends on what the spirochetes inside Donald Trump's brain tell him there are.
Well, then they were always worried. You know, and then we got to go out and take care of ISIS, and everybody's worried about ISIS. And I used to tell everybody on Facebook, well, if ISIS attacks, they're coming through Mexico, but the South will rise again, and they'll protect Obama.
Yeah, yeah. Don't run out and put a fin on that.
I had to tease the rednecks, Bob.
I think you speak redneck, no doubt about it.
Well, I grew up with rednecks, so you know.
I know the feeling. I did too.
This is right next to an Indian reservation, and Vine Deloria Jr. wrote that discrimination is against Indians is at its worst in white communities that lie closest to a res, and we're like 8 miles from the res, you know. And so it's a redneck town.
Sounds a bit like it. Well, listen, you stay warm, you hear?
Hey, I got one for you, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I call Tiny Hands the clown and his sidekick, Pennywise Pence.
I like that, Pennywise Pence. That's just creepy.
So, I take it you know who Pennywise is.
I get the reference. What is that, from It? Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be about the best name for a creepy clown that I've ever heard. And Stephen King, he's a genius, you know?
Oh, he is, without a doubt. And I like him better than the Steve King they've got in Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, Bob.
All right. Kiaz, you take care, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
Calling from far frozen North Dakota, that's our buddy Kiazi. And if you want to see how easy it is, if you want to jump in, you're more than welcome to. Wait a minute, I got a cowbell for our buddy Texas T. The almond trees are nutless, so is the orchard at the White House. But the West Wing? Lots and lots of nuts. Definitely lots of nuts. What's that? Big sigh coming from Kevin in Colorado Springs. Just another example of those evil government regulations. Thankfully, we still have them. Athens County farmer pleads guilty to having contaminated calf slaughtered for beef. Well, of course. Oh, and by the way, speaking of which, because we just sort of keep up with these things because capitalism. Tyson has recalled a bunch of chicken nuggets. 36,000 pounds of chicken nuggets have been ordered to be just dumped. As CNN said, not because of a rubbery taste, but because rubber may actually be in the chicken nuggets. But you're sitting there saying, yeah, well, hey, I'm a vegan. I don't have to worry about that kind of thing. New report finds heavy metals like arsenic and lead inside 45 different packaged fruit juices. Yep. Golly Moses. It's been a long, just thinking about things since I'm going to be another year older in a couple of days, a day. I can remember a time when we thought it was a good thing to have a big government, a big, great, big, humongous government that paid lots of people to do things like inspect the food we eat and make sure there wasn't any arsenic in the apple juice or rubber in the chicken nuggets. Of course, then again, that was so long ago, there weren't any chicken nuggets. That was before they invented the process known as pink slime. Yum, yum. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? Chicken nuggets with rubber in them, boys. Eat them while they're hot. They're good and chewy, just like calamari. But through the 80s, with the rise of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, came this notion that having a government that actually tried to make sure people didn't eat rubber chicken or drink arsenic in the fucking apple juice, well, that was an example of intolerable big government. And Ronnie said, the 9 most dangerous words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Mommy. And Newt Gingrich of Gwinnett County, Georgia, jumped on there and started hooting about big government. And then along about January 1993, he got himself got himself a majority there in the House of Representatives, and started beating on old Bill Clinton, who's about as much a liberal as say Herbert Hoover was. Shrieking away about that big government till the day finally came that Bill wagged that knuckle at us on the TV and said, "The day of big government is over." And so never again would Americans have to worry about the horror, the commie socialist horror of having food inspectors to make sure there was no rubber in the chicken nuggets or arsenic in the fucking apple juice. Yay! Merca! Let's all stand up and sing that Lee Greenwood song, why don't we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that we have members of the Horn Family Community Congregation out in Nevada. Well, reporting today from the Nevada Independent, described Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak as being, quote, beyond outraged, unquote, when he found out that the Trump regime's National Nuclear Security Administration inquired of in a court proceeding and under oath confessed that they sent a half a metric ton of weapons usable plutonium to Nevada. Governor Sisolak issued a statement saying, "I am beyond outraged by this completely unacceptable deception from the U.S. Department of Energy. The department led the state of Nevada to believe that they were engaging in good faith negotiations with us regarding a potential shipment of weapons-grade plutonium, only to reveal that those negotiations were a sham all along." Mm-hmm. It was sometime before November 2018 when the NNSA said that the agency had shipped the weapons-grade plutonium to Nevada. In the Nevada Independent, they stated this transfer was done after a U.S. District Court in South Carolina. How about that? I wonder what kind of an appointee that judge was, ordered the material to be removed from South Carolina. Governor Sisolak of Nevada said they lied to the state of Nevada, misled a federal court, and jeopardized the safety of Nevada's families and environment. My administration is working with our federal delegation, and we will use the full force of every legal tool available to fight back against the federal government's reckless disregard for the safety of our state. Gosh, it seems like it was only a week ago, mainly because it was, that we had a story about the fact that the Trump regime wants to reclassify nuclear waste as, really, no kidding, it's no big deal, it's probably not even dangerous at all. Now we know why they want to do that, because they already did that. In New York, subject line, rubber and chicken, get real. The estimates of rubber in our food are inflated. It may be cold, but, you know, it's not too cold for funny. As for Kyrsten Sinema, senator, Democratic senator from Arizona, Flavio, confesses, "I'm smitten with her. The woman is beautiful, smart. She has a PhD, for Christ's sakes, and an athlete. She's a triathlete. She's a Frisian. That's when you can't decide whether you're German or Dutch." Wait a minute. "What a delightful sense of humor. Remember at her swearing in when she saw the stage directions on the floor? Can I get a spouse? And those boots were styling and perfectly appropriate for the weather. Remember how people complained about Michelle Obama's exposed arms but not Melania in gun thongs and boots?" As Flavio says, fuck Kyrsten Sinema's detractors. Well, you're free to try. I'll take a powder. But apparently melanoma has abandoned that Republican concept of no one who takes personal responsibility ever files a lawsuit. According to the Washington Post, melanoma is in a lawsuit frenzy against anything that she doesn't like that gets said about her. According to Trump's melanoma's spokescreep, Stephanie Grisham, her reasoning is pretty simple. She simply won't stand for people printing lies about her. How about speaking truth about her? Spokescreep Grisham continued, "It's irresponsible and reckless, and media outlets should be held accountable when they choose profit over the truth." This has to do with the fact that she used the overly broad British libel laws to get a settlement and make a fast buck off the Telegraph. She also went after the Daily Mail and a Maryland blogger. Oh, goody, a blogger. Well, here's... you tell me. Did Melanoma Trump take her clothes off? Did Melanoma Trump take her clothes off in exchange for money? Did Melanoma Trump take her clothes off in exchange for money so that people, perfect strangers, could view her naked flesh? Here's the quick answer. Yes, 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 and yes. Charles Harder, no, really, because the goddess of irony doesn't miss a lick. Charles Harder is Melanoma's lawyer and said Melanoma's going to continue to enforce her rights against reckless writers, reporters, editors, and publishers who make false statements about her. True statement. Melanoma Trump accepted money in exchange for removing her clothes so that she could be photographed and perfect strangers could look at her naked flesh. Photographs of her naked flesh. Truth, you see, is an absolute defense. Myra Guten, a professor at Rider University and a historian of the First Ladies, said, "Every First Lady came to this role, I'm sure, expecting there would be a certain level of scrutiny and tabloid reports that they probably weren't going to like. Some, I'm sure, were hurtful, but there was no legal action. There's a sense that you're part of the game." This was Sonia West, who teaches First Amendment law. "There's a sense that you're part of the game. You're opening yourself up to public criticism, so you figure you just need to take your hits and do your job." Has the statute of limitations run for Michelle Obama? Because I can think of a whole shitload of people with tasty little white wing budgets who need to have the living fuck sued out of them for suggesting that she is, in fact, not even female. Of course, that's an old, old, old racist trope among, well, you know, racists in America. The defeminization of African American females. So, you know, that's okay, I guess. Whatever. Stay classy, melanoma. Stay classy. Subject line, nude Melania. Lee in New York says, there are worse things than a woman getting nude for money. She and other women have had sex with Donald John Trump. Yuck. I've told you guys, I don't eat dinner until after the program. Don't ruin it for me. Steve in New York says, let Marvelline Jr., melanoma, sue until her heart's content. She's now a political public figure. With no actual malice, she can go fuck herself. I'm so damn sick of these damn snowflakes with their not only thin, but lack of skin. Hey, look. It's the one, the only, the all-around great guy. It's Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Steve.
Bob, what's happening, brother?
You know, just I had to take a minute there while I was talking to Kiazi to change the gas tank on the propane heater. But
I understand.
We're holding steady at 52 here in the fabulous Horn Studio. So maybe we'll get through the next three quarters of an hour or so.
That's balmy. And come, like you said, Tuesday, it's going to be in the 60s.
Yeah, here it'll be pouring the rain, but, yeah, 60.
Man, I've had a hell of a day, man. Hell of a day. Trying to get Mom's Veterans Administration benefits squared away, and then I had a dental appointment, so I've been assaulted with a metal hook, but that's not why I called.
Wow, you just throw that out there and keep moving on. Do you realize how many people you just made shudder?
Well, I don't want to make this about me because it's not, you know. I want to put this difference between weather and global warming to rest once and for all. There's one right-wing tool out there that can hear me because I am so sick of seeing the likes of James Inhofe, you know, taking a snowball out on the Senate floor and Donald Trump tweeting, we need more global whaming. He couldn't even spell it right. Did you see that?
Yeah, whaming. Yes, global whaming.
Yeah. And the difference is, Bob, and you know this, and I don't have to explain this. I just, hopefully there's some right-wing tool out there, and knowledge is power, and this will spread. Weather is a day-to-day phenomenon. Global warming is a long-term phenomenon. It's that fucking simple, man. And why don't they get this, man? Or why don't they want to?
Well, they don't want to because, A, it might mean that things aren't so great. B, that there's stuff out there that they need to worry about. C, that they might actually have to do something about it. You get the idea.
Right, but global warming is getting to be out of hand, and it's going to start hurting a lot of good people. These weather fluctuations, yeah, we can handle, but these storms, these hurricanes that are coming up, you know, through the Florida coast and staying hurricane strength all the way up to the Carolinas, we can't handle that. We don't know how. Our infrastructure is not built around that, and that's wherein lies the crisis.
Oh, yeah, no, we're utterly unprepared for it. Bless their hearts, and I say this loosely, bless their hearts, the Pentagon is doing everything they can to cope with it, but they've got a so-called commander-in-chief who would like to prevent them from being able to.
And even Noah tried it politely to put him in his place, but it was like Scott in the chat room, VT Blonde, was telling me, well, they couldn't get really ugly with him because he's their boss, you know, and I get all that.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And while I have you on the line here, I don't want to take up a whole lot of time, but I wanted to get your take on Kamala Harris. Or I'm sorry if I missed.
No, you're saying Kamala Harris. You're pretty close.
What is your take on her? And then I'll give you mine real quick. And what disturbs me about her, and what I like about her, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm not going to run out there with the Howard Schultz says he's not going to run as a Democrat, so he's fair game. I'm trying, for all I'm worth, to avoid the sort of situation that we had in 2016. There are things, it's like that, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we can use a Bible verse. It's like that verse that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not going to be a political candidate for president out there who is absolutely rock solid, 100% perfect.
No, absolutely not.
So, I've seen that the Oppo research machine is already in full flower relative to Kamala Harris, and of all the things that she's of all the critiques that have been launched against her, the only one that really particularly bothers me is the business about the prison slave labor.
Yes. Yes, and there was another one that kind of disturbed me, where she thought that parents should be held accountable for their children's truancy. Now, you couldn't hold my parents accountable for what the fuck I did when I was a teenager.
Well,
they were both working, trying to support me, you know.
Did you just lay out of school for 10, 15, 20 days?
Well, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's who that policy was aimed at.
Oh, okay.
Technically, the DA is probably, I don't know this to be a fact. I know it is here. The county prosecutor is statutorily charged with being the de facto lawyer for the school board. Okay, so truancy reports come to the prosecutor's office.
But I do know I hooked a lot of days, you know, maybe even consecutively, and got away with it. And it wasn't my parents' fault. They thought they gave me lunch money, and they thought I was being, you know, their prodigal son and doing the good thing, you know, going out and going to school.
Well, but that was used in extreme cases. Okay.
Well,
but the other part of that is, Steve, I don't think anybody ever went to jail as a result of her truancy policy.
Yeah, but she said it, and we all say a lot of stupid shit.
Well, she said it because it was embodied in the law of the state of California, I well imagine.
Yep.
I mean, a prosecutor cannot prosecute laws that don't exist statutorily.
My mouth is my most worth enemy, and it's got me into more trouble than any other organ on my body. So, you know, I get that. You know, we all say things that we reflect on and say, God damn it, I wish I wouldn't have said that.
Let's go back and talk about the prison labor thing, though.
Okay, please.
And I'm trying to be fair about this, because I don't hate her.
No, I don't hate her either.
I am also not a member of a cult.
Hey, I'll vote for her if it comes down between her and Trump. Goddamn, I'm on board.
Damn, man. Skippy. But the thing that I would like to get across to people is to quit treating politics like it's some sporting event, like it's wrestling, or no matter how much it may resemble it, or a football game, or your favorite lacrosse team, or what the hell ever. Because it isn't. It is a matter of civic duty and civic responsibility. And toward that end, we need a little bit of civic knowledge. In the case of the business about the slave labor, what bothers me is, A, the fact that whether it's California, Colorado, Georgia, wherever, prisoners are used as slave labor because there is a specific statement in the 13th Amendment that says you can. Because the 13th Amendment says there shall be no involuntary servitude, except in cases of people duly and lawfully committed of a crime, which means that, well, okay, you can make slaves out of your prisoners.
Well, one could argue that's what Trump did when he shut the government down with all the government workers that didn't get paid.
Well, yeah, but let's try to stay on track.
Okay.
I'm not chiding you. I live in the weeds, man. I'm just wandering around out here and pick a daisy there and smell some clover.
All right, and I brought it up. I shouldn't have went there.
But please, so here's the deal. California has a wildfire problem. And California has a prison overcrowding problem. And California had the prison overcrowding problem at the time that Kamala Harris was Attorney General of California. And by the way, being Attorney General of California for the most part is not going to win you a bunch of friends, because you're the top cop. Over in Bernie Purity land, for instance, they've got a hashtag, Kamala is a cop.
And there's a lot of diversity in that state, too, believe it or not. You know, I mean, Orange County, I mean, there's a lot of Reagan Republicans that are still entrenched there.
Sure. But let's look at that situation. So California has a lot of wildfires. And California had overcrowded prisons. Well, the prisons became so badly overcrowded that the federal judiciary stepped in and said, hey, it's just you're running illegal prisons because they are overcrowded to the point that they are violating the constitutional rights of the prisoners incarcerated therein, because prisoners incarcerated still have some constitutional rights. Okay? And so you're going to have to turn some nonviolent, trustworthy offenders loose. And a staff lawyer in her office went into the court and pled and said, Your Honor, we can't turn these prisoners loose because we use them for forced labor to fight fires. Now these prison laborers make up to 37 whole cents per hour, Steve.
Say that again, Bob. That needs to be repeated.
These prison laborers earn all the way up to a whole 37 cents per hour.
God damn, it's going to break the economy.
And so the argument put forward by the this assistant deputy under attorney general was that it'll bankrupt the state if we can't use slave labor to fight fires. Now, when that was presented to Kamala Harris in real time, she said, well, I didn't know that anybody said that. I'll have to look into it and get back to you. That's what she said to the Los Angeles Times. And the other night, when she was given a couple of bajillion dollars worth of free campaign airtime on CNN with a town hall.
Aha. That's another thing I want to discuss with you, but go on.
A young kid stood up and asked her a series of questions about prison reform, racism, and he specifically asked her about the prison slave labor. And she gave really polished, elegant answers to everything but the slave labor question and just ignored that and kind of pretended the guy didn't ask it. That tells me it's still a problem for her. Maybe it's not, but it sounds like it is. Now, before I get any hate mail saying, what are you hating on Kamala? I am not. But if you recall 2016, when Bernie started hammering away on those goddamn speeches to goddamn Goldman Sachs, I said, release the fucking tapes, get out in front of it, because if you're answering somebody else about it, it's going to wear you out in the end. Guess who was right, Steve? Me. If she had simply released the tapes, Hillary, and if she had simply said, listen, I accepted money to go to Goldman Sachs and tell them that they all shit ice cream and that their farts smell like rose water, okay? Because that's what you tell a group like Goldman Sachs when they give you a bunch of money to go speak to them. That's the same thing anybody else does. And so here's the tape, and lo and behold, that's what the tape said. It was just her blowing smoke up their ass and telling them how star-spangled goddamn awesome they were. But instead of putting it out there and getting in front of it, she let Bernie Sanders and then Donald Trump hang that around her neck like an albatross.
And just hammer.
And it stayed there and rotted till it stunk.
And it's still there.
Now, with the prison labor thing, I don't want that going on. Okay? I don't want, if she's the nominee, I don't want Trump running around the country saying, she's such a woman of color. She's out there and she's used decent, upstanding criminal white people as slaves. White racism, MAGA, white racism. I don't want that. I'm sick to goddamn death of it. Now, here's the other side of the prison slave labor fighting fires in California problem. There's no reason to believe that California is going to stop having wildfire years. I mean,
just control their underbrush, Bob.
If they could just rake the forests, right? Yes, like they do in Finland. But because of climate change, California is going to keep catching fire.
Yes.
And if California does not have enough professional firefighters to meet the firefighting need, California needs more firefighters because those are paid jobs. Those are paid public jobs. And I will, you know what? If somebody that I cared about had been a nonviolent offender who was in a trustee status, who was sent out to, as an amateur to fight a goddamn fire and got burned alive in a forest fire, I'd start marching and I wouldn't stop till I got to Sacramento, and I would bring hell and damnation with me. Can you imagine burning alive for 37 motherfucking cents an hour?
Jesus. No.
I mean, hell, no. burning alive for minimum wage.
A million an hour, shit, man. That's
but burning much... burning alive and not even having the ability to say no to no, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about fighting any fucking fires. No, you just put me back behind the goddamn bars.
Yeah. Three squares and a cot sounds much better than being out here and, you know.
And the fact of the matter is California needs those firefighters. And our buddy Horst pointed out a couple of days ago, it's not always fire season, so you'd probably need for them to be able to have some other public skill that they could. Well, cool, let's do that. Let's find something else within the public infrastructure that needs to be addressed by a full-time professional staff. I mean, I guess you can't send the cops to fight the fires. The cop union would object to that. But at the bottom line of all of this, the bottom line to all of this is that it needs to be addressed, it needs to be gotten out of the way, and needs to move in and move on from it.
And logistically, there needs to be a task force tenfold of what they have now, knowing what we know now about global warming, and tenfold may even be a light number.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else that's been concerning me. There seems to be a resurgence of these Bernie or bus people, and I listen to talk radio all day.
Well, the question is, not to interrupt, but just briefly, as Asa pointed out, if you're seeing them on Twitter or Facebook, up to 40% of them may be bots.
Maybe bots. Yeah, and I have nothing against Bernie. Like, shit, I'd vote for him if it came down between him and Trump. But
if Bernie,
I just don't want a redux of
right. If Bernie, who is not a member of the Democratic Party, is for some reason or another allowed to run as a Democrat and becomes the nominee, I will happily go And here, let's go ahead and fix the dates in our mind, okay? So let's go to 2020, first Tuesday after the... I will happily go on November the 2nd, 2020, to the polls, and I will vote for Bernie.
Absolutely, and I'll be...
Happily go to the polls and vote for an old yeller dog against Donald Trump.
I'm just scared to death of a redux because you hear all these rumors that Hillary's going to get back in. I'm like, no, please, God, no.
You know, you're a big part of it every month. We hang on by a thread here.
Yep.
And a prophet is never welcome in his own land. And, boy, am I blowing my own self up there. But I said probably a year ago or more that there's somebody with a lot of money to be made whispering the following in Hillary's ear. Come on, Hills, you got this. If you run in 2020, you'll be younger than Bernie was when Bernie ran in 2016. Third time's the charm, Hills. Let's do this. And whoever's whispering that doesn't give a good goddamn whether she wins or loses, because it does not affect his, her, their. Bottom line, they get paid win or lose.
And it needs to be the same people that are backing Schultz to get in this thing, just to be a spoiler. One could argue that.
Oh, wait. Howie Schultz?
Yes.
Oh, we have a... Starbucks, dude. I have a Howie Schultz moment for you. You're going to love this. Like I said, just like they did back before the 2016 election, all of a sudden... the Morning Joe Bunch are giving away free political airtime to a guy who claims that he's not like everybody else and he's a billionaire genius businessman.
You go first, but that's going to allow me to transcend into my next point before we run out of time.
And so there he was this morning on Morning Joe, and he got hit with a gotcha question.
How much does a box of cherries
What qualifies you to be president of the United States?
What qualifies me to be president of the United States is my life experience. People are going to think it's my Starbucks experience. It's mm-hmm. what I've learned along the way. It's sharing success. It's recognizing that every business decision is not an economic one. And it's an understanding, a real understanding, that somebody has to restore the promise of America. And what...
You know, as long as the promise of America doesn't include making the goddamn billionaires pay their fair share. But let's continue.
Qualifies me is that I will be a leader of the country, of all American people, that people will trust and admire, because I will understand. I have walked in their shoes.
I've had his coffee. I neither trust nor admire him.
I'm on both sides of the equation. I'm somebody who is successful. I'm somebody who came from the projects, and I understand the American people.
Who is the best Republican president in the past 50 years? Best Dem.
This is also funny.
I have great respect for Ronald Reagan. Just came from the Ronald Reagan Library.
Yep.
The thing that I took away from Ronald Reagan, aside from all of the wonderful things he did, that really struck me, especially compared to the current person who is despicable in the Oval Office, Ronald Reagan never took his jacket off in the Oval Office.
You know, Bart...
God damn, Ronald Reagan destroyed this country.
Bart Kopp's been dead a number of years now.
And he's probably rolling around.
But I remember how batshit crazy it used to drive him when those little Reagan acolytes, those little Reagan lickspittles would say, well, he respected the office because he never took off his jacket.
Oh, fuck. How do we know what he did in there?
Half the time he probably didn't even know if he was wearing fucking clothes, okay? He was gone. And which feeds into, let's not elect any more old people, really, really ancient old people, to the presidency. But, you know, I get accused of ageism for that. Never mind. But never mind that. You know what he did while he kept his jacket on? He traded arms for hostages. You know what else he did while he kept his jacket on, Steve? He violated federal law to send money to the Contras and military support to the Contras. Also, while he had his jacket on, he sent John Negroponte and Elliot Abrams down to run death squads in Central America. Oh, but by God, he kept his jacket on.
And one could argue he flooded the streets with crack and started the crack epidemic. And one could also argue that he busted up the unions when he told the air traffic controllers, you're fired. That was the downfall of unions and organized labor in this country, in my opinion. And I can remember my father clearly throwing shit against the wall when that happened.
And he got to, he got a, one question today where he said, well, I don't think unions are real. Reagan's his favorite president. Let's find out about the Democrat, shall we?
FDR.
You got to quit. Are you one of those people that sits there? I knew somebody. So there was this funny joke.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there was this funny. There was this wonderful joke about this string that walks into a bar and the bartender throws him out. And so he goes outside and he sees this guy on the street and he buys a comb and he frays the top of his string and he loops himself under and he pulls himself back through and he teases out that string some more and he walks back in the bar and the bartender says, hey, aren't you that string I just threw out of here? And the string looks at him and says, no, I'm afraid not. So a million years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant in Atlanta with a bunch of people. And this one young woman who had heard the joke before looks at me and says, tell the frayed knot joke.
I shouldn't have did that.
You're one of those people, no. Aren't you, Steve?
No, I was just watching Morning Joe right along with you, probably screaming at the TV.
Yeah, so now we have to do the favorite Democratic president of the last 50 years. Now, we all know the problems that I have with ciphering, Steve. But it's 2019, take away 50. If I hold my tongue just right and stand on one leg, I'm pretty sure that gives us 1969, right? Now, this is a multi-googly bajillionaire who's a titan of industry and a captain of fortune and a genius of finance. Who's your favorite president of the last 50 years, Howie?
Here's why. Because of his respect and the dignity of the office, that needs to be restored.
How much?
Democrat, FDR.
How much?
Democrat, FDR. You know, FDR.
And they just moved on like that. You know, that was an acceptable answer. And another answer that he gave, Mika asked him.
You're doing it again. That's the next part of the clip.
All right, I'm just going to sit here and shut the fuck up.
We're just playing, Steve. We're just playing.
I know.
But the reason that question comes along is because of the old song.
What's a gallon of milk cost?
The gallon of milk and George H.W. Bush being baffled by a barcode scanner. So, the Cheerios question.
What does an 18-ounce box of Cheerios cost?
An 18-ounce box of Cheerios?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal.
I don't eat Cheerios.
Here's the deal.
Yeah. You ask us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like budgets for the VA. We're going to ask you questions.
That's the only one. I don't need Cheerios. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's $4.
Yeah. Is it $4?
Yeah,
it's $4 for a box of Cheerios.
And high five to Mika. She cornered his ass, and that soundbite can be used.
Right. Did you notice Joe running out to cover for him?
Oh, yeah. And I looked at Karen and said, if I was him and I didn't know, but I was in the know, I could say, well, I don't really like Cheerios, but I like cornflakes, and they're about $3 or $4 a box. This fucker has no clue, man. Or he would have gave an honest answer.
And I'm pretty sure Mika's buying like off-brand Cheerios.
Yeah.
But like Howie Schultz, it's probably the only thing we have in common. I'm not a Cheerios guy either.
They're gluten-free.
Are they free range and cruelty free and vegan too?
Who knows?
To me, they just never had any damn flavor. I like Life cereal.
But now you can get the apple cinnamon Cheerios. They're pretty good, but they're full of sugar. So then again,
well, that's the only thing that makes them worth eating. It's just like the Life cereal. I do like the cinnamon life with sliced bananas and a little nutmeg.
Oh man!
And fair life milk.
With some goat milk, yeah, man.
No, Fairlife milk. Goat milk? What? And no.
But Mika did give us a soundbite that we can use. We cannot let this fucker
But I love the fact that he tried to rebound and said, well, yeah. I eat yogurt for breakfast.
No, he doesn't. He has Raul bring him breakfast or, you know, whoever. Yeah. He has a servant bring him breakfast. He has no clue. That fucker hadn't been in a grocery store in the last 20 years.
No, he may eat yogurt for breakfast. It's just full of hummingbird tongues. That's all.
If he's been in a grocery store, it's been the Kroger to check on the status of one of his damn Starbucks.
Yeah, I know. But
and here's one more point I want to bring up, Bob, and then I'm going to get out of here in case you want to bring on another caller. It just seems to me like this Schultz guy and Kamala Harris, they seem like they're the anointed ones right now, and that disturbs me.
Well, he's getting attention because he's doing the billionaire thing. Hi, I'm a billionaire. I should probably rule you. I'm thinking about running for president. He's the billionaire of the moment. Once he finds out that nobody's interested, unless he's just a complete sociopath, he won't run. Kamala Harris is getting all the attention right now because Kamala Harris is out there actively running a campaign. I've got serious ethical questions with CNN about why they gave her all that free publicity in Iowa. Did they invite Elizabeth Warren? Did they invite Kirsten Gillibrand? Did they invite Julian Castro?
The lady from Hawaii.
Did they invite Tulsi? Oh Jesus, Tulsi. Okay.
The
there's one that the I don't have any problems.
The war veteran from Afghanistan. It's part of the GLBT
community. One of the best comments I saw earlier today was, why ain't nobody talking to a good progressive like Rich Ojeda? Well, because Rich already got out of the race.
It just seems to me like the media appoints their anointed ones, and that's who we're stuck with. And God damn it, we need to get away from that.
But Steve, and, you know, I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable. It is so early. I mean, we are a year away from New Hampshire. I don't know. I may, you know, when the weather turns good, I may buy that griddle, fix the smoker, and just do a cooking show for the next 10 months or 12.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I have these horrible flashbacks of MSNBC and CNN and Fox all just pointing their camera at an empty Trump podium, just waiting for him to come on.
Yeah, they're waiting. They're waiting for an anointed.
Yep.
Well, they can't help that because they're the multimillionaire for profit media, and that's how they are. It's sort of like they've got political ADHD. No offense to anybody who has to deal with ADHD. It's a bear, but they can't focus. To their credit, you know, they covered some other stuff. The end of the program when Anand Giridharadas took apart Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Noah Rothman was simply elegant and beautiful, and I guess they're going to do it tomorrow again. Unfortunately, I'm going to be on the road. I'd like to hear that.
You're going to be on the road tomorrow?
Yeah, we got to run down and take our daughter to the doctor.
Oh, okay. Will you be back Friday for the porch? Or
I'll be back tomorrow night.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm not some dilettante who takes his damn birthday off.
Oh, happy birthday, brother.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you. But that was enjoyable. But Jesus Christ, can't subtract 50 from 2019. Doesn't know how much a box of cereal costs. See, the perfect thing would have been to look at him and say, oh, you eat yogurt for breakfast? How much is the fucking yogurt, Howie?
Or you don't like Cheerios? What's your cereal of choice? What's that cost?
Right. You know? He said, oh, I eat yogurt. Okay, how much is the yogurt? And then, you know, you get the, I don't know, you get the Rain Man answer. About $100. How much did your new Rolls Royce cost, Howie? About $100. How much did your new yacht cost, Howie? About $100.
My fear is, Bob, that once again, we're going to allow the media to pick our candidates for us. And we can't do that because they pick what's best for ratings. They do not pick what's best for us. So that's one of my greatest fears. And just
right, because remember, right-wing corporations own all of this shit. So they're going to, I mean, they give, you know, they give Chris and Rachel and Lawrence pretty much free reign. But, you know, when you're talking to this bunch in the morning, talking about this bunch in the morning, no, I mean, it's a, I guess they assume that the hippy dippy flower power progressive liberal types like me and you aren't up yet.
That's a huge ratings grabber that morning, because that's when you're getting up, you're getting ready for work, and you got something playing in the background, and they know this too. And I that's why I can't give Joe Scarborough any slack, because he gave us Trump, like it or not.
Well, he and she.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had him on. They'd let him phone in day after day after day after day. Just let him fucking phone it in, man.
Oh, Donald Trump just got, we just got word, Donald Trump got a high score on Candy Crush Saga. He's on the phone. Yeah, sure.
I tell you what, I am the world's best at Candy Crush Saga. I am. There's nobody better.
But just to clear the record before we go, Bob, neither one of us, and I can speak for you on this, we're not hating on Bernie. I would love it if I could wave a wand and make Bernie president right now. I would, man. I just don't want a repeat of 2016 because we can't afford it.
If I could wave a magic wand and make your dog Cletus president right now, I would.
But, you know,
Cletus, you're such a good girl.
Yeah, well, she's a sweet puppy. Love for you. But I'm going to get out of here, Bob, and let you close this up. It was really nice talking to you, brother.
Oh, it was a pleasure, and I think we talked about something that mattered. So, you know, that's good too.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your closing statements, and I'll be in touch. Okay.
All right. You take care of yourself, Steve. Good to hear from you. And by all means, please give our very best to the lovely Miss Karen.
I will. You take care, brother.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
That's our buddy Steve from Georgia Stan. By the way, how about that? No sooner did he exit in ever so shabby fashion the House of Representatives and looking all waxy and stuff than I guess somebody hit him with the powder puff and, well, howdy. Welcome brand new Fox News TV Radio Rwanda contributor, Trey Gowdy. Yeah, isn't that precious? You know, you'd think there should be, like, maybe wait a year before you can get hired. But, yeah. He joins noted right-wing, white-wing apologist Jason Chaffetz as well. CBS just hired Jeff Flake. Oh, yay. I thought I'd close out with a really interesting little clip. A historian by the name of Rutger Bergman, he's Dutch, actually got to address our betters when they got together in Davos. And he was one of the very few people who actually spoke truth to power there. Because mostly Davos is billionaire swells walking around patting each other on the back for their brilliant philanthropy work and talking about whatever shall we do about those poors. Never realizing that they're part of the reason poor people exist. Well, for some reason or another, they didn't throw out Rutger Bergman. And he had a little something to say. Have I got that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, where's the damned audio? We'll try this another way. All that set up, and then the audio doesn't go. Working. Well, honest to Pete, some days you just can't win. Rutger Bregman. And where did go? Ooh, this is annoying. Wait, I've got another idea. Sorry about the dead air. I wouldn't spend so much time on it, but doggone it, it has value.
This is my first time at Davos, and I find it quite a bewildering experience, to be honest. I mean, 1,500 private jets have flown in here to hear Sir David Attenborough speak about, you know, how we're wrecking the planet. And, I mean, I hear people talk in the language of participation and justice and equality and transparency. But then, I mean, almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water, right? there was only one panel, actually.
Thank well, you. We've had two. You're the second well, of well, our panelists.
There was only one panel.
Let's go there.
One.
You know, for a room full of billionaires, that was pretty tepid applause, wasn't it?
One panel hidden away in the media center that was actually about tax avoidance. Yeah. I was one of the 15 participants. So something needs to change here. I mean, ten years ago, the World Economic Forum asked the question, what must industry do to prevent a broad social backlash? The answer is very simple. Just stop talking about philanthropy and start talking about taxes. Mm-hmm. Taxes, taxes. We need to... Mm-hmm. I mean, just 2 days ago, there was a billionaire in here. What's his name? Michael Dell. And he asked a question like, name me one country where a top marginal tax rate of 70% has actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a historian. The United States, that's where it has actually worked. In the 1950s, during Republican President Eisenhower, you know, the war veteran, the top marginal tax rate in the U.S. was 91% mm-hmm. for people like Michael Dell. You know, the top estate tax for people like Michael Dell was more than 70%. I mean, this is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk for a very long time about all these stupid philanthropy schemes. We can invite Bono once more, but come on, we got to be talking about taxes.
Yeah,
takes some stones to call out Bono at Davos. Yes, it does.
That's it. Taxes, taxes, taxes. All the rest is bullshit, in my opinion.
We have a tax system that leaks so much that allows $170 billion.
This woman is brilliant. Winnie Byanyima. Executive Director of Oxfam International. This is going to sting at least the billionaires.
Dollars of money every year to be...
By the way, and I know, I'm going to run over a minute or so. Why is Winnie...
In my opinion.
We have a
why is Winnie Byanyima, the Director of Oxfam International, a woman of color, wearing what appears to be... A classic mode of dress from somewhere on the African continent. She's lovely, and no doubt about it, brilliant. And on a little podium, sitting next to her is a stuffed animal of a monkey eating a banana. Why? Fucking why? Is this just more billionaire cluelessness? Listen to her words.
A system that leaks so much that allows $170 billion of money every year to be taken to tax havens and to be denied the developing countries that need that money most. So we have to look at the business model, and we have to look at the role of governments to tax and plow back money into people's lives.
I have to say, honestly, this is a very one-sided panel. The U.S. basically has a...
This is beautiful. This is an outraged Davos attendee who can't believe that we're talking about something as hateful as taxation.
And we have to look at the role of governments to tax and plow back money into people's lives.
I have to say, honestly, this is a very one-sided panel. The U.S. basically has the lowest unemployment rate ever, the lowest black unemployment rate ever.
By the way, this dickhead is Ken Goldman, the former CFO of Yahoo, and he's about to get his head handed to him.
Lowest youth unemployment ever. We've actually reduced poverty around the world. No one's talking about that at all. So I'd like for the panel to talk about beyond taxes, which every one of you have talked about. The only thing you've talked about in this whole panel on inequality, what can we really do to solve and help solve inequality over time beyond taxes?
We could eat the rich.
The gentleman who talked about, who said we've just stopped taxes and that jobs are there and there's low and unemployment rates are low. Let me tell you something. We're talking about jobs, but the quality of those jobs. And we also work with poultry workers in the richest country in the world, the United States. Poultry workers. These are women who are cutting the chickens and packing them, and we buy them in the supermarkets. Dolores, one woman we work with there, told us that she and her co-workers have to wear diapers to work because they are not allowed toilet breaks. This is in the richest country in the world. That's not a dignified job. Those are the jobs we are being told about, that globalization is bringing jobs. The quality of the jobs matter. It matters. These are not jobs of dignity. In many countries, workers no longer have a voice. They are not allowed to unionize. They are not allowed to negotiate for salaries. So we're talking about jobs, but jobs that bring dignity. We are talking about healthcare. The World Bank has told us that 3.4 billion people who earn $5.5 a day are on the verge, are just a medical bill away from sinking into poverty. They don't have health care. They are just a crop failure away from sinking back into poverty. They have no crop insurance. So don't tell me about low levels of unemployment. You are counting the wrong things. You're not counting dignity of people. You're counting exploited people.
Precisely. And, of course, the former CFO of Yahoo doesn't give a flat fuck about the dignity of people. The women who get no bathroom breaks on a 12-hour shift gutting chickens? Well, see, if you let them... And this is the kind of thing that keeps billionaires up at night. If you let them take bathroom breaks, then the next thing you know, they'll feel like human beings. And then... maybe the time that they spend on those godforsaken bathroom breaks, well, that could represent a loss of 0.00000000001 penny on the share price. And billionaires sit up nights grieving and sweating about that 92nd decimal point loss, because pretty soon it adds up to real money. You see? Yes. Breaking news on the way out the door. A jury has given Senator Rand Paul and that thing on his head, you know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, another Republican who's always out there braying about fucking tort reform. Yeah, a jury's given him $580,000 for the day that his neighbor beat the shit out of him, probably because Rand Paul richly fucking deserved it. Can you imagine having to live next door to Rand Paul blathering all of that libertarian horse shit day in and day out? But yeah, Rand Paul wants tort reform unless Rand Paul can get $580,000 for getting the shit kicked out of him. Hypocrisy, thy name is libertarian. Yeah. And so there we are. We are, by the way, a quick update on the firefighters on the way out the door. A note from James in Illinois. California has a law that states that you cannot use prisoners to do jobs that free citizens are available to perform. I built a prison, now known as the Slammer by the Sea. I then stayed and got involved in local politics. They were using prison labor for everything while locals were out of work. They showed up to work on my kids' school, and we had just elected my wife to the school board. So I, as the chair of the Democratic Party, took my wife and confronted them. There were about 24 of them helping tear the old roof off. The lone guard told me that I had to leave as these were prisoners, dangerous prisoners, and I just laughed. So did the prisoners. I introduced my wife and told them that as the school board member, she had the right to be there, but I didn't know about all of them. I said that most of these guys were probably locked up because they didn't have jobs, and here's the state giving them jobs, but robbing the locals. It didn't amount to anything in the end, but it made me feel better. I could tell you other stories of the state violating other laws, like stealing downed redwoods for firewood for the warden. Yeah. And then there's the then there's the question of the fact that even if those inmates learn to be firefighters, when they get out, they can't be hired as firefighters, you know, because prison. So she really does need to deal with that. And again, let me reinforce, this is not me gooning on Kamala Harris or any other Democratic candidate. Because none of them are going to be perfect. And I'm going to wind up voting for one of them. I have a list of people that I hope it isn't, but I'm going to wind up voting for one of them. And even if it's one that I hope isn't the nominee, is voting for that candidate too. So there we are at the end of the program. Thanks everybody for joining in this evening. Thanks again to all of you who keep the program going year in, year out, month in, month out. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to the pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And we're not fundraising this week, but I do have a birthday fundraiser up for Coal River Mountain Watch and the 8 campaign. If you can't find it on my Facebook page, send me a message and I will send you a direct invite to the fundraiser. Trying to raise $1,000, and I think we're around 540 now as we move toward, you know, the end of it. That's going to support, and please, if there's a put a memo in, support the 8 campaign. And you can also go to just crmw.net, use the PayPal button there, contribute securely, and please, in the memo, put ache campaign, or just ache, because we're going to have a hell of a lot of work to do this year, and we're hard-pressed to be able to even do it. So thanks. And yeah, I'll be on the road tomorrow, but I should be back in plenty of time to be on the air. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.